So, hi, I'm Karen Ferrari. I'm an artist based in Vienna. And thank you both for inviting me. I'm very happy to talk today about predictive programming, which is related to my work, as I will explain in a second. So I have a video series, actually, that's called Decoding the Whole Truth, where I reveal hidden messages in music videos and in TV clips, and I show them on my YouTube channel, Black Magic Media, and I also show them, for example, at the Moscow Biennale for Young Art and on Austrian television. So how is predictive programming related to my work, and what is it? Predictive programming is a highly controversial hypothesis about manipulation and control in media, and it claims that there are actually events planned years advance in the future, and they are shown to us in big high budget productions by, well, most of the time it's a talk about big US American productions in order to familiarize the public with these planned events or huge social changes. And how is it related to my work? Well, as I will show you in a minute, one of the methods I use is I combine academic theory and contemporary cultural theory, and in an experimental and highly unorthodox way, and I combine it with occultism and magic and fringe theory and speculative fiction. The reason why I do this is I think that there are many things and mysteries that cannot fully explained by science and by rational approaches, and I think art is a good way to deal with them. And I don't think that we should shy away from them only because we cannot fully understand them. So predictive programming prepares the public for planned major events. I think this is a highly topical subject because of many events and changes that we witnessed quite recently that nobody of us or many of us didn't have thought that this would be possible. And the term, as it is intended, predictive programming, origins in conspiracy theory. So it suggests that there might be, or that there is, a secret world dictatorship that uses black magic in order to attain or maintain their global supremacy, and that they have a master plan, and that they have a very strategic strategy how to get the public to behave how they want them to behave. Well, if that's true like that, I don't know. But what I can say that there are actually measurements and technologies in our everyday lives, in our digital lives, but also outside of that, that in the widest sense can fit this description of preemptive mass manipulation. And of course they don't have spectacular names like predictive programming, but sound rather harmless or cryptic, so you don't really know what these are about, and these are concepts that we are also pretty used to and don't perceive them anymore like this. I'm talking about concepts like advertising, for example, which is used for engineering desire, or also PR. Maybe some of you have seen the movie, I forgot to look at the time, maybe some of you have seen the movie Century of the Self by Alan Curtis, which deals a lot about the origin of advertising as we know it in war propaganda, where he explained how Edward Bernays decided to use the or he had the thought, if you can use this these techniques to get the people to go to war, maybe you can also use them to not to go to war. And he used Freud's theories and actually found a solution in directing the energy of the big public towards consumer capitalism, to put it shortly. Well, other concepts we have heard about a lot discussed lately are Amazon's and Netflix, recommendation engines, consumer experience personalization, filter bubbles, or the personalized Facebook news, and of course, data mining and strategic communication. So, if you see that these type of words, they draw us in different types of worldviews. And I think in that kind of scientific, in this kind of economic speech, some of the aspect gets lost, that actually the term predictive programming maybe describes better a sense of future paranoia. And I would like to show you now a 5-minute long excerpt from a work of mine I did for Austrian television. It's called Decoding the Impulse at ZIP, Decoding the Opening Sequence of ZIP, which is the main news broadcast. And the question behind this is how news shaped the world. And, well, even correct and truthful reporting distorts reality just by the way which news are selected to be shown to the public and how long they want to, how much time they get. It's in German but with English subtitles, so I hope it's okay, but I think it's important to show it in this context.
Ich habe vorkommen.
Der nun folgende Bericht zeigt, wie das Intro der Fernsehnachrichtensendung Zeit im Bild die eigene Zeit in ein Bild fasst, also Gegenwart visuell erfahrbar macht. Das ZIP-Intro erzeugt die Fiktion einer gemeinsamen Gegenwart, was übrigens die eigentliche Aufgabe zeitgenössischer Kunst ist, so der Kulturtheoretiker Peter Osborne.
Alle Aufnahmen der Erde, die in den ZIP-Intros der letzten 60 Jahre vorkommen, sind Simulationen. Sie sind computergeneriert und damit genauso fiktiv wie das Weltbild, das sie zeichnen. Ein einheitliches Weltbild, das von Störgeräuschen befreit und geglättet erschaffen wurde, um das Chaos zu bekämpfen.
Der Kampf gegen das Chaos wird auf der Ebene der symbolischen Bedeutung und der Repräsentation geführt. Die Zeichen und Bilder, die dafür benutzt werden, sind magisch. Denn nach der Definition von CCRU, der Cybernetic Culture Research Unit, ist Magie der Einsatz von Zeichen mit dem Ziel, Veränderungen der Realität herbeizuführen.
Dabei muss man sich fragen, wie wird eine solche magische Wirkung der Bilder ermöglicht? Das Intro der Nachrichtensendung schafft die Voraussetzung für eine magische Wirkung der Bilder, indem es Autorität, Authentizität und Aktualität signalisiert. Die komplexen und opaken Machtstrukturen unserer Gegenwart werden symbolisch kodiert reproduziert und so wirksam in den Köpfen der Zusehenden verankert. Im Folgenden werden wir die Intros der ZIP der letzten 60 Jahre dekodieren.
Nun, was eine Sache bedeutet, ist nicht immer eindeutig oder direkt.
Und die Zukunft immer dunkel.
Visionen und Mut sind erforderlich, um den Sprung ins Ungewisse zu wagen. Dem amerikanischen Kontinent.
Die Weltkugel hier dreht sich nicht von Westen nach Osten, In diesem Bild dreht sich die Erde zum Nordpol hin.
Es sieht so aus, als würde uns die Erdkugel überrollen.
Als würde uns Nordamerika überrollen.
Studio. Über ihren Köpfen erscheint die Zahl 1, phallisch und in eindrucksvoller Größe.
Hier wird der Androzentrismus illustriert, also die gesellschaftliche Fixierung auf den Mann.
Der Einser hier gibt zu erkennen, dass sie sich alleine fühlen und einsam sind.
In der Zukunft werden männliche Chauvinisten ausgestorben sein, weil sie niemand pudern will. Das nebelhafte Leuchten aus der Mitte stellt bildhaft dar, dass die Nachrichten eine Sendung sind, die ausgestrahlt wird.
Das Ziffernblatt der Uhr zeichnet den kreisförmigen Umfang des Sendestrahls. Dieser Sendestrahl ist aus dem Fernsehgerät heraus auf die Zusehenden gerichtet und repräsentiert die Suggestivkraft des Mediums.
Die monotone Drehung von Erde und Uhr wirkt hypnotisch und versetzt die Zusehenden in einen Zustand der besonderen Empfänglichkeit. Empfänglich wofür? Erinnern wir uns, das zeitgenössische Weltbild, welches das Intro erzeugt, ist fiktiv. Real existiert es nicht.
Nur mit Hilfe der gesamten Zuseherschaft kann diese Vision, diese Television, wahr und real werden. Indem die Zusehenden an diese Television glauben, manifestieren und programmieren sie die Realität gleichsam mit. Der Fachbegriff für diese Vorgehensweise ist Predictive Programming, zu Deutsch vorhersehende Programmierung.
Deshalb heißt es auch Fernsehprogramm.
Bleiben Sie dran bis nach der Werbung, wenn der nächste Teil der Serie Decoding the Whole Truth, das Predictive Programming, der Intros der Sendungen Zipflash, Wetter, Magazin und ZIP24 untersucht.
Wir werden uns ansehen, auf welches potenzielle zukünftige Ereignis diese Intros verweisen und inwiefern dieses Phänomen mit dem zusammenhängt, was Armin Avanesyan und Suhail Malik als den neuen Zeitkomplex des Post-Contemporary bezeichnen.
Wenn Ihnen dieser Film gefallen hat, dann abonnieren Sie Karin Ferraris Black Magic Media Channel auf YouTube und teilen Sie uns Ihre Gedanken als Online-Kommentar mit.
Das war die Code, die Intros der ZIP, The Whole Truth von Karin Ferrari. Unsere Programmempfehlung, jetzt gleich im Anschluss noch ein bisschen Deprogramming. Wir verabschieden uns nun, verbringen Sie noch einen schönen Tag.
Auf Wiedersehen.
So that was the movie I mentioned in the beginning that I made for Austrian National Television, and in the end I introduce the term predictive programming in relation to news, and I also mention the concept of the time complex of the post-contemporary by Avanesyan and Malik, where they actually described the phenomena I shortly mentioned before, like Amazon's and Netflix recommendation engine, or preemptive strikes policies, or preemptive personality, that actually a kind of new organization of time happened. So they say, describe in this paper that in a complex society like ours, and with complex society they mean a society highly interwoven with technology, that it's not only anymore the present that is the predominant, has the predominant impact, but actually algorithms and calculations can predict future behavior, and this has consequences for our present. And obviously that what the outcome of this is, that who has the power over these kind of technologies, and this is also relevant for medicine or insurance policies, not only for Amazon, which might maybe recommend you a really a good book that you might be interested in, that who has this kind of power of the future is even more powerful than just controlling the present. So in law enforcement operations, we already have heard the description of preemptive strikes, you might have heard. So technology is used to find out who potential victims are, who potential future offenders are. And you might have known this concept already in science fiction movies like Minority Report, where the precogs, which are kind of visionaries, predict future crimes. And in the movie with Tom Cruise, he then comes in this kind of difficult situation because he has not done anything but is already suspected of his future crime. So the underlying question of all this and the basis why a concept of like predictive programming can develop is the underlying question: to what extent are we really programmable, and to what extent are we predictable? Well, according to Michael Kosinski, which is a psychologist and an expert for psychometric, he says that actually with only 68 Facebook likes, he can predict with 88% accuracy which skin color a user has, which religion, which how much alcohol they drink, what their political preferences are. And he can, with 68 Facebook likes, they can even say if the parents got a divorce before the 21st birthday. So, okay, but what's the relation between profiling and programming? That's obviously even a step farther. But is it possible theoretically that if you know which are the right buttons to push, that you can manipulate people in the order you want them to? Well, maybe some of you have seen Snowden's comment about Brexit, with what was that no matter the outcome, Brexit polls demonstrate how quickly half of any population can be convinced to vote against itself. And well, afterwards it turned out that behind Brexit and also the Trump campaign stood the same data mining company, Cambridge Analytica. And they, you can find them officially on the net. And the German-speaking internet, there was an article which was quite vastly distributed, where they described how they use data mining for micro-targeting people. So that means that they know very, very exactly which kind of information they have to share with what kind of person. And I let you see the CEO of this Cambridge Analytica explain himself what kind of work they're doing.
In the simplest form, the more you know about someone, the more you can align a campaign with their requirements or their wants and needs. So at a very basic level, we try and take a really very vast quantity of demographic, consumer, and lifestyle data, and we blend that with psychographic data, which is a modeling of personality, to start to to be able to target and communicate with people about the things that they really, really care about, but more importantly, possibly, in a way that resonates with their personalities. So you can take one specific issue and communicate it in multiple ways to different audiences, depending on their personalities, to achieve some sort of engagement on that issue. And I think that is a paradigm shift in the way that communication is delivered today, as opposed to in the last 20 years.
Well, I would like to hear your thoughts about what you think of this guy, because he seems to be really nice, and what he does sounds quite innocent, but actually what he described what they are doing is that maybe some of you know that in the election campaign in the United States, it's pretty common that they go to door, or that they talk to people directly. And that means that they have the information and they stand in front of a house and then they see who is Republican and who is Democrat. And then they go to the Democrats and tell them that kind of information that keeps them away from voting, and then they go to the other, to the Republicans, and tell them the information so that they actually go voting. And they don't have, I think, usually election campaigns work with four types of personality profiles, so they talk different to women, men, black and white people, and to put it simply, and they have 34 different profiles. So I hope this gave you the right amount of paranoia to talk now about some concrete examples like conspiracy theories intended predictive programming. And I would like to show you now some examples where fictional events actually became true. So one example that was a lot in the newspapers was episode from The Simpsons from the year 2000, so 60-year-old episode, where where Trump was president, right? It's just a very short moment where actually Lisa Simpson's become president, and they are referring to Trump, that he broke the country down, that the country is broke now. And then 2 years ago they made another episode referencing to this prediction where he actually won, and they claimed that it was kind of a warning. And we saw that this was discussed in many newspapers. So this is another example from The Simpsons that is usually associated, that this might be a hint or a prediction of the 9/11 attacks. And there are many more of these allegedly predictions that are discussed on the internet. Oh, sorry. For example, this is, should be also a prediction of events. This was in the movie Armageddon from 1999. And it was done, then deleted from the official TV version. This is from a card game from the 90s. The card game is called, I think, the Illuminati card game. And this card is especially suspicious because there are rumors that, there was not only a plane, but that there were actually explosions. There are eyewitnesses describing explosions, and also the way how the towers fell down sounds a lot like explosions. This is from FEMA, which is the Disaster Management Agency of the United States. So this is from 1997, where the World Trade Tower is in this crosshair. This is from the movie Fight Club. This is actually not in New York, but in LA, but there is a striking similarity. And as you see it here already burning, and then the towers, they fall down. This is from the movie The Gremlins. This is also discussed as example of predictive programming. And you see here, it's not a direct depiction, but the numbers 9/11 in close proximity. This is a book cover. I think this is from the movie Mario, Super Mario. This is from Terminator 2. So again, only the numbers. And and remember that 911 actually is the emergency call number of the United States. So whoever came up with that date must have been like a math genius or something. It's a highly valuable symbolism behind 9/11. This is an album cover. Well, here another strange coincidence that Neo in the film The Matrix from 1999 was born exactly on the day of the attacks on September 11, 2001. Here, German Mario comic, 97. This is a Microsoft Flight Simulator. And this is also a very interesting example. This is the album cover by metal band Dream Theater, and you see the apple burning, and you see the Twin Towers in flames. And this album cover was actually released on the same day. So it was released on September 11. And then obviously they had to remove them, but some copies still exist. So to sum this up, we can say that you see two types of images that are discussed as example of predictive programming. Ones that show the event pretty directly, and the other ones in a kind of encoded symbolism. And now in the last part of my lecture, I would like to go a bit more in this kind of encoded symbolism. And I would like to show you now an example, 2 minutes, from a movie, this is not mine, but one that is that made its rounds and claims that the film Back to the Future from 1985 contains a message warning, an encoded message warning about the 9/11 attacks.
We've inherited quite a budget crunch from President Trump. How bad is it, Secretary?
This was the episode from 2000.
The night that I go back in time, you will be shot by terrorists. Please take whatever precautions are necessary to prevent this terrible disaster.
In the 1985 classic, Back to the Future, at a scene called the Twin Pines Mall, we will bear witness to a sudden surprise terrorist attack, perpetrated by a group of Muslim terrorists. The attack is at the Twin, which is a reference to the Twin Towers. When we turn the sign upside down, the digits on the clock read 911 or 9/11. The Twin Pines are a symbolic representation of the Twin Towers. Before the terrorist attack, the Twins are present, but after the attack, the Twins are gone, replaced with a single pine. This takes place on 9/11, where the Twins are destroyed and replaced with a single tower, the One World Trade Building. Also at this scene, Doc shows us two stopwatches, both of which display encoded 9/11s. Is this only a coincidence? But Marty is carrying more essential information about the future. He knows the exact time and date that a tower will be struck.
Phase the clock tower! Phase the clock tower! Don't forget to take a flyer. Phase the clock tower!
In a story we already suspect of being a 9/11 warning, how is it possible that this phrase appears on a flyer telling the future? Then, when the tower strike takes place, a giant flaming 9/11 is ignited in the street. Marty knows exactly when and where this tower strike will happen because it's all written on this flyer and placed in his hands. But something lurks in the background overseeing this transaction. More human minds on planet Earth observed 9/11 than any single event in human history. making it a massive terrestrial meditation, concentrating collective consciousness onto a single space-time focal point, making 9/11 humanity's most potent consciousness-altering stargate.
That 9/11 was predicted so many times before it actually happened. And I took out this 9/11 example, but there are many, many more examples where this actually happened, starting from the novel Futility that was published in 1898, which describes an unsinkable ship with too few lifeboats that crashed into an iceberg 400 nautical miles from Newfoundland. And then this happened actually in 1912, exactly the same with the ship Titanic, and the ship described in the novel was called Titan. And there are also other types of alleged predictive programming. So let's just shortly discuss the motive or the intention behind these phenomena, if you don't want to write it off just as pure coincidences. So it could be a type of control, a preparation, like as I said in the beginning, they show us their plans, so we get used to them, and this lowers resistance. It could be educational, so that we behave how they showed it to us in the movies. So in an example for this is discussed to be World War Z, where the World Health Organization comes up with a vaccine plan, and we see that in the movies, and so we all take the vaccines. And it could also be like advertising works, a way of engineering desire and manufacturing consent. The other explanation could be, especially with examples like Dream Theater's album cover, where these artists even guessed the date and chose it for the publishing, that for some way or another, artists are psychic and they can tune into the subconscious and see things that might happen. And then another very interesting explanation could be that we see these things in advertising and movies, and then we manifest them collectively because of the power of the collective consciousness. And this could again happen either on accident or because the collective power of creation is instrumentalized by masterminds behind it. So is there a practical value if a phenomenon like predictive programming really does exist and is used into entertainment industry? Can we also use it for our own purpose somehow? Or maybe we're already doing it, right? I mean, like filter bubbles is not a phenomenon that came into existence with Facebook. We also tend to talk with like-minded people. I grew up in South Tyrol, and there were bars where only German-speaking people went, and other bars where only Italian-speaking teenagers went. But it was not forced, so it just happened. So is it possible that if you have something in your mind, that you can create it in reality? And I brought here to shortly talk about this aspect of predictive programming, this artwork that you see in the other wall in the end of the room, where this is a collection of Joker cards that I found lying on the streets over a period of 6 years. And actually, I decided to find them because I witnessed some strange coincidences, or they are also called synchronicities. So maybe you have also experienced strange events where you think of someone and they call you, or you open the book on exactly the page where you find the information you're looking for. Synchronicities are events that are not causally related, but somehow form a meaningful union, right? And so of Because of some reasons, I decided I want to find the Joker cards, and then I actually did. And the last Joker card I found in Mongolia after betting with someone who didn't believe me. And then the next day we went on a black market, and in the middle of the crossing was Joker card lying. So we already, at the end, I would, 5 minutes, I still have to show you one last thing. Because there is one kind of, I call it programming now because of, I don't have better words for it, of a certain type of symbolism that really does seem to appear again and again in music videos, and is also widely discussed. So it's the all-seeing eye symbolism, which I don't know what really is behind it, but it also came to my attention that it happens quite often. So what is that all about? Well, first, it actually is part of the US-American official iconography. Maybe some of you know that you find the all-seeing eye pyramid that is associated with the Illuminati on the back of the dollar bill. And you also find it in other official logos of the United States, like, for example, the Information Awareness Office, which is part of DARPA, who invented the internet. And they came into DARPA. The Information Awareness Office was made headlines because they were so much involved in the spying scandal, right? And I mean, whoever came up with that kind of logo, it really looks like, let's spy on the whole world. So why is this with the ancient Egyptian pyramids? Maybe we are still in ancient Egypt, and I would like to show you now a short excerpt from my movie, Decoding Katy Perry's Dark Horse, The Whole Truth, which is set in Memphis in ancient Egypt, and there is a plethora of all-seeing eye symbolism, and I use this all-eyeing symbolism to construct a parallel narration over the original video, but I can only show you a few minutes now. You can see it online on YouTube if you want to. And I explain how the symbol originates in the Eye of Horus in Egypt and then returns in Christianity and in the end becomes kind of infamous symbol for conspiracy theory as well as actual surveillance dystopia like we have. Katy Perry's music video Dark Horse is the encoded depiction of the ritual magic an occult elite uses to secure its power. It reveals the key role that the pop star plays in this, and how the mystical concept of supernatural perception mutates into a monstrous surveillance machine. The tracking shot ends when Kate is exactly in front of the sun, because sun worship and modern celebrity culture are closely related. This is an Egyptian sun bark, a funeral boat that transported the dead body of the pharaoh who was thought to be reborn as a god, like the sun rises after every night. This is the first eye of a plethora of all-seeing eye imagery which is hidden in plain sight in this music video, a secret code for those with eyes to see.
Juicy J!
The blue eye on her hair is a hieroglyph called the Eye of Horus. It addresses myths around the third eye that endowed Osiris with the ability to see in the dark. It represents the pineal gland inside the brain that was considered to be the seat of the soul in ancient Egypt. The pineal gland actually is sensitive to light and is brought into connection with a sixth sense. The Eye of Horus is the origin of the Eye of Providence, a symbol that is called All-Seeing Eye of God as well. It appears in Christianity to symbolize the omnipresence of God and is also part of Freemason symbolism. A constantly growing internet community associates the Eye of Horus and its variations with an occult elite. Katie's right eye is accentuated because she's a member of this elite. The eye patch is a variation of the old seeing eye. He's an aspirant for the first level of initiation. He's aware of the hierarchical global conspiracy and wants to become an insider. So you wanna play with magic? Katie forms a symbiosis with the sphinx-shaped throne. The square gems look like the hypnotic eyes of a snake. The pattern on her dress looks like the snake's wide open jaw. The man holds the diamond in front of its mouth as if he wanted to feed it to the snake. Do you dare to do this? 'Cause I'm coming at you like a dark horse. Hey, are you ready for it? To evaluate the diamond, Katie uses an optical device that is shaped like an eye of Horus. In optics, a diamond-shaped component is used that breaks the light into spectral colors as well. The prism. Prism is also the name of one of the leaked NSA top-secret surveillance programs. And Prism is the title of the album on which the song Dark Horse was released, 3 months after Edward Snowden's disclosures. The optical device stands for the insights that are reserved to an elite. The eye is opaque, that means it doesn't expand the vision in the physical sense, but rather it lets her glance in onto the sphere of the virtual, like data and metadata. It looks as if she would kill her suitor in order to keep the diamond, but the truth is the encounter is a visually coded initiation rite into an extremely hermetic magic society with Katie as chairwoman. This is Isis, the goddess of magic. She adopts the sovereign point of view of the all-seeing eye at the top of the pyramid. The camera angle from top down stresses the omnipotence of her gaze. The bowl stands for a mode of knowledge that illuminates a whole connection in an instant. The whole picture becomes visible if one adopts a perspective rather far above, like that of an elite. This brings me to the members of the elitist secret society who call themselves Illuminati after the light of reason. The identities of the Illuminati remain in the dark, in contrast to the modality of illumination that the celebrity star embodies. He or she shines from within and in addition stands in the spotlight. Celebrities are part of the elite, although they used to be ordinary people. Climbing up the pyramid, Isis represents personal, social, and economic advancement. She portrays the superstar, whose power lies in the false promise that potentially everyone can follow their footsteps. This myth ideologically legitimizes the whole system. The spacecraft symbolizes the surveillance state which inherits and puts into practice the omniscience of the Eye of God, with surveillance technologies and data centers of the size of football fields. The cyclone revolves around the pyramid so that its center, to which meteorology refers as an eye, is right over the peak of the pyramid. Together, the storm and the pyramid form a huge, three-dimensional, all-seeing eye. One could say the music video Dark Horse is an excessive celebration of liminality, an endless sequence of rites of passage. This is why the scenery is literally packed with depictions of phoenixes. As mentioned already earlier, the phoenix is an essential symbol in Illuminati initiation rites. Even the logo on the sneakers looks like the outstretched wings of a rising phoenix.
That's it. Thank you for listening.